2 Samuel chapter 2, you see here, as you so often see really in these early chapters after Saul has died, how David really is full of grace towards the house of Saul. He really had wept, as one of the Psalms says, as a man weeps for his mother when Saul died. It was an amazing example of somebody who really had risen up to love for enemies. He really was influenced by God's grace to reflect God's grace to others. And it's like he's running around crazy trying to show grace to as many people connected with this house of Saul as he could. And he's doing this in the context of a very politically charged situation, because the supporters of the house of Saul wanted Saul's family to continue. His tribe, the Benjamites, were against the tribe of Judah that David came from, and they did not want David to be king, and they were willing to fight David and to stop David becoming king. Even though Samuel had clearly anointed him king, he was clearly God's choice, and the house of Saul was not God's choice. Yet despite that, when everything in David, naturally speaking, would have wanted to fight his own corner, would have wanted to protect himself against them and to justify himself and, of course, to come out with all the dirt that he knew on Saul, what an awful man he was, etc. And he rants about it in the Psalms. He doesn't do that. See verse 5. David sent messengers to the men of Jabesh-Gilead. These are the people who had buried the body of Saul, and he that was really a statement that they were on the side of the house of Saul, and they were against David. And David says, "May you be blessed by Yahweh, that you've shown this kindness to your Lord, even to Saul, and have buried him." He recognizes, you consider Saul your leader, you're on his team, but may you be blessed. It was a totally non-political statement. This was grace bursting into all the politics of human relationships. And he says, verse 6, "May Yahweh show grace and truth to you. I also will reward you for this kindness because you have done this thing." Well, grace and truth is a term very often used about the promises. And he is saying, may God fulfill his promises to you, and I will show you grace and every blessing. Now, David had in a sense been rewarded by God for his kindness to the house of Saul. In fact, Abigail, his wife, has used that phrase in 1 Samuel 25:30, when she says, when you become king and Saul's dead, then God is going to reward or do kindness to you. And God did that to David. And David was influenced, I think, by his wife's language here, because he now says that to those who are actually on Saul's side. It's grace all the way through. You see him lamenting over Saul and Jonathan. He goes out of his way. You know, is there anyone left of the house of Saul to whom I can show kindness, he once says. This really is a classic lesson to us, to try to overcome evil with good. And to show grace, to show genuine grace and genuine love to your enemies, even when you are living in a situation, particularly in a family situation or in a church situation, where there is so much anger, so much angst, so much hatred against certain individuals. Well, he goes on, and in the end, as we know, he does win, as it were. But there is this unfortunate incident that you get described really from verse 15 onwards, when to try to resolve the conflict between the house of Saul and the followers of David, they say, look, let's not fight, let's have a duel. Let's have 12 young men from Benjamin and 12 young men from the servants of David, and they will fight a duel, and we'll see who wins. So they go out to fight each other, and each of the, I presume, six pairs of gladiators, as it were, they manage to strike each other dead just at the same moment. And so they all fall down, all 12 of them. There would have been 12 duels, as it were. They fell down, all 24 of them. So you wonder why they each had 12. Well, 12 was the sort of accepted number of the tribes of Israel. It's as if each side considered that we are the true Israel. We are the body of believers. And you've probably seen that sort of mentality in your church life, where different groups, different people, fellowships or whatever, divided by a hard line between them of separation, say, we are the real deal. We are the body of Christ. We 12, as it were, tribes of Israel. And they talk about the body of Christ as if it refers solely to themselves. And the other guys do exactly the same. They use the same language and yet apply it solely to themselves. So there they were. The whole lesson of all this weird thing that they all fell down dead, all 24 of them, 12 verses 12, is that conflict between brethren has absolutely got to fail. It will never work. But unfortunately, nobody seems to want to learn from history. And the way it finishes in verses, 30 to 32, Joab and his men, after the battle, they march all night, and the day dawned as they came to Hebron. And that's exactly what happened with the servants of Saul, the house of Saul. They also marched all night, and they came, verse 29, to Mahanaim, to their sort of self-proclaimed capital. So the parallels, I think, are in the way the story ends, with both of the armies marching all night and coming to their capital cities in the morning, I think indicates the parallel that God saw between them. And as I say, we are going to live together forever in God's kingdom. There is a collective dimension to salvation. There is only one body, and all true believers are in that one body, be it the Old Testament body of Israel, or in our day, the body of Christ. And the body needs all its members to exclude people, to play silly games with people. I mean, quite clearly, this is absolutely wrong and inappropriate, and not at all what God wishes at all. So it will only be a lose-lose, and that is absolutely true of all conflict. And I think you see that actually David had kind of figured this out. He really had figured it out, because he pours out grace to the house of Saul, and I don't think he does it as some sort of clever policy to win their hearts to him. I think quite genuinely he has experienced God's grace, and he wants to pour this out even to his enemies, and to use, to buy up, as it were, every opportunity to show grace to your enemies. Now, this is a stellar, quite outstanding example to all of us.